Porn is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington. And once again, I'm excited for my guest this week. I'm really excited because I haven't been able to talk to anyone that's in the finance industry, but now I have a guest here. Her name is Nicole Dillard, and she is the Assistant VP, the Relationship Manager at U.S. Bank in Columbus, Ohio. So haven't been able to talk to too many guests in this area of the country. So definitely want to hear all about what's going on in that market, what's going on all in the financial space, you know, now with COVID. So super excited to talk there. So Nicole, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. I know you're going to drop us some key gems of wisdom today, so
hopefully
let's do it. Right. Cool. So before we go into everything, just tell me a little about you and how you got interested in finance.
So yeah, I'm from Columbus, born and raised. I actually ended up at Ohio State University, and I majored in resource management and finance. I actually kind of fell into finance because I started off as a nursing major, and then just with all the clinicals and I started getting a weak stomach, I was kind of like, I gotta pivot. And so I ended up in finance, and I actually got my first job in banking while I was finishing college. I started in the call center. I always call it my hazing period because I was like taking calls back to back. But when I was in that position, I learned so much about finance and credit and just things that I hadn't been taught, you know, growing up. And so it just really stuck with me. And I decided that, you know, that I wanted to stick in the banking and finance space. And I kind of just have gone along since then growing in the career.
Cool. And so you told me you recently kind of really started getting more interested in the real estate finance kind of sector. So how has that been so far?
It's been cool. I mean, there is so much to learn. It's so crazy because I worked in banking for a long time. I managed the branches. I was a private client banker. And you think, you know, it's always a joke in banking. You learn something new every day. Well, it's a whole nother level in finance and real estate finance. Like there's so much to learn. And so I've only been in it now for about roughly 2 years in the real estate space. But I've learned so much, and I'm excited about, you know, the opportunity to grow in this space. There's so many different avenues that you can go. But it's been a good run, but mainly a huge learning period for me, a lot of learning.
Particular deal that you worked on in terms of real estate that you want to just give us an overview and tell us how that experience was for you?
Well, actually, I just worked on one now. COVID, you know, is a little bit of a game changer. You know, I'm again learning how to navigate the changes with COVID. But I just worked on one recently with a guy who he's actually from Columbus, but was looking to purchase a property out in North Carolina. Huge deal. It's a 13 unit commercial building with different business owners. And obviously with COVID kind of, you know, changes the game a little bit because they have higher expectations as far as how long the tenant has been there and the type of tenants they'll accept, because the bottom line is some businesses could go out of business tomorrow just because of the nature of the environment right now. And so just going through that deal with him was a lot. But we were able to get it approved and we'll be closing on it. So I'm excited that I helped him get it done.
Cool. And in that same vein about the changes with COVID, I know a bunch of people are now, you know, trying to jump into buying a home, getting their first property because the interest rates are so low. What are some of the other changes that you've seen in, I guess, more residential real estate lending now with COVID?
There, you know, in the residential space there, I don't feel like there, you know, there's a whole lot of change. Rates are great. Like you said, I mean, rates are under 3% right now. So if you're going to buy, now's the time to do it. There have been a lot more changes in the commercial space, I would say. And then, you know, supply and demand is still high right now. So I don't think the housing like prices have really gone down or anything because of COVID, because the demand is still so high. Mm-hmm. I think next year we'll see a little bit of fluctuation with the prices and a better time to get in for new investors, because I do think that the prices will kind of start to even out. But right now, a whole lot hasn't, you know, not a whole lot has changed in the residential space.
Everybody's kind of looking forward to the next shoe to drop with, like, when the rent moratoriums are lifted and everything. We're anticipating a bunch of foreclosures just because of COVID. How do you, like, how did your company, or what are your opinion of how that's going to go?
I think it's going to be a good thing for people that are ready. And so when I say ready, it's about really making sure that you have your financials in order, whether it be your credit, your income. A lot of investors or business owners write so much stuff off that they're not in a place to secure the financing. And so really for the people that have prepared and made sure that they have the, you know, the background in terms of like their credit and being able to support the debt service, it's going to be a great time, because the prices, like you're saying, the foreclosures, the prices are going to come down so much that'll help with the actual performance of the properties. And so right now, the challenge that we're having with getting some deals done is that, you know, the properties are performing, but the banks want to put in the include the risk that's associated with COVID. So they're requiring that the performance is a lot higher than what it historically has had to be. Mm-hmm. And so when I think next year, when the prices drops, that's going to kind of even out that challenge. And for the people that have the credit and the down payments, because that's the other thing, you do want to have the capital or the cash injection to be able to purchase the real estate. So that's another thing when it comes to preparation or potentially looking for people to collaborate with. A lot of people want to go on this by themselves, but like if you can find someone to collaborate with for the capital piece of it, it will be a really good time to get in.
Group economics, that's the way that we're going to make it for sure. Yeah. So what about on the commercial side? Like, you know, now a lot of office spaces are being vacant. A lot of retail businesses are going under because, you know, shutdowns are coming back, whatever the case may be. A lot of mom and pop tenants just couldn't withstand the wait time. So how do you see that market looking as far as financing moving forward?
It's not that it won't exist. I do anticipate that it's going to change drastically. I think a lot of companies that have gone to the work from home model will stick with that. I've seen some of that with like Deloitte, and I think Amazon, they've got some of the positions they have decided to go ahead and make them permanent. So I definitely think the commercial space will change, and it will go down in the retail space. So I don't know as far as for me, or if I was suggesting like investments in the real estate or commercial space, if it would be retail or office space, because I just feel like we don't have enough information yet to really know what that's going to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But as far as the multifamily and commercial apartment complexes or buildings, those are where I see a lot of opportunity for us to get in, because that's not going anywhere. And then you've got some of the mixed use properties that they're doing the office space within the property. I think those are going to be really good long-term investments.
All right, so let's take a step back and just kind of dive down into your actual market. So I haven't met too many people from Columbus, Ohio, so I'm very interested to hear, like, what's the state of the market there? Ohio is obviously a hot area because the prices are lower than some other areas around the United States, especially like New York, LA, Houston, whatever. So like what's going on in Columbus, and why should people invest there?
Columbus is hot. It's been hot for even pre-COVID. To your point, the housing prices, even the build, you know, the commercial space is a lot more affordable, and it's growing. So right now good or bad, a lot of gentrification, a lot of areas that they're turning over, that if you can get in now, there'll be a lot of opportunity. But also the vacancy rates here are extremely low. I think right now they're less than 1%. And so it's a really good market right now to come in. Amazon is actually moving here. They're building a huge office space out here. And so that's going to draw in even more people. So while we're on the uptrend in terms of costs, I still think it's a good time right now for people to get in, because I think that is going to continue to go up.
bond coming, that's definitely a catalyst for rising rents, more jobs in the area. So yeah. If anybody's thinking about investing in Columbus, it's a good time. Connect for with Nicole sure. So she can get you that money.
I was looking at rental prices the other day, and I'm just like, it's gotten crazy. Like, Columbus, you used to be able to rent or buy something so affordably, and it's just gone up. And so I think that's going to continue with all of the companies that are coming here. So for sure, it's a good time.
I guess the average prices, like, are people coming in and buying in cash a lot in Columbus?
No, not a whole lot of cash. I would say people are seeking financing. But it's, you know, as far as the, you know, in the commercial space, you've got to have 25% to put down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, 25% here versus 25% in New York, it's a lot more, you know, affordable. You know, you might even, you know, a commercial building here might be $600,000, or a multifamily here might be $400,000. Whereas in, you know, you're in Tampa, I don't know what it is there, but some of the DC and things like that, it's a lot more. I got a lady trying to get a daycare that's like 1.8 million out in DC. And I'm like, here a daycare would be like 600,000, maybe eight. Like, so it's a lot, you know, a lot more affordable for people that are newer to the, you know, investment space or don't have as much capital, because you're still going to have that opportunity to grow.
Yeah, $400,000 might be a down payment in DC or New York or exactly. One of those places. So that's exactly. Good. That's definitely good, and it's, you know, they're performing and the rents are rising. It's an opportunity to get in, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
All right, so let me talk about because, you know, this show is all about women of color and their trials and tribulations. So being in finance, we all know that it's a man's world. So what are some of the challenges that you've come across being a woman, being a Black woman in finance?
Listen, Linda. No, no, there have been, you know, I've been in the industry for a while. And I mean, I guess I'll start one of the challenges. You know, you hear the whole work twice as hard to be half as good. It's real. And specific, I don't know if this is every industry, but in banking, it's been very real for me. I've always performed very well, very, you know, been successful in my roles. And a lot of the opportunities that were presented to other people have not always been presented to me. And I was actually just fortunate enough a little later on in my career where I had some other minorities, the very few that were out there, that kind of reached back and kind of, you know, saw my talent and was like, hey, let's go. But we just don't get that same, it's kind of, you know, they say it's not what you know, it's who you know. We don't get that same, you know, opportunity typically within in the finance space from our counterparts. You know, you perform well and it's kind of like, oh yeah, she's great there, you know, and not really, even if you're putting yourself out there and trying to, you know, blend in as much as possible, you're not always accepted as much and your skill is not always valued. So that's definitely been one of the challenges, is just working really, really hard and not always seeing the fruits of the labor in terms of promotion. One of the other challenges that I've had is just really learning how to embrace, like, giving, like, my authentic self, but also being acceptable or palatable to people, right? Because there's this thing where if you're confident or if you know what you're talking about or you're good at what you do, then it, as a Black woman, that's perceived as arrogant sometimes, right? Instead of it perceiving like, oh, she's just a confident woman that knows what she's doing. No, it's oh, she's arrogant or she has an attitude. So for me, just finding that fine balance of being able to be assertive, being able to brag. I don't know if you've read the book Brag. Have you read it?
I haven't read it, but I heard of it.
Heard of it. Really being able to brag, or basically it just talks about putting yourself out there, talking about the things that you do well in order to see some of those promotional opportunities. Because I think that some of the missed promotions could be multifaceted. Yes, no one was tapping me on the shoulder, but also it's trying to find that balance of like, how do you assert yourself in those spaces and be accepted. Another one, I have naturally, my hair is naturally curly, and it took straight today, but it took a very long time for, I remember, like, I would wear my hair curly finally to work, and it would be like this weird, you know, approach to it. Oh, you look, you know, they don't know what to say, but it's kind of like, and then the minute I straighten it back out, oh, you look so professional today. I'm like, really? How did I look yesterday? So just learning how to embrace all of that and bring my full self to work and to the professional space has definitely been a challenge. But I'm getting there, and all the movement that we're making as sisters is making it a lot easier. So it's a challenge, but I think it's definitely something that we are overcoming.
Yeah, unfortunately, finance is one of those industries where they love that banker's look, that, you know, plain Jane, no personality, just come in and be about the numbers.
Yes, it is. It is. And it's hard to, when you're not an in-the-box type of person, it's hard to be forced into that box. So you almost have this thing of like, I love what I do, but I hate what I do, because it's like you like the work, but it's like you hate being pushed into a box to be successful. So definitely that's just very rigid, but it is evolving. It is evolving. So that's good.
All right. Well, that's a good segue to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is Project REAP. And, you know, that's all about getting more of us, getting more people of color involved in commercial real estate and finance and anything where we've been kind of traditionally kept out of. And you're a new member of the REAP family in Columbus. So how did you get introduced to REAP, and how has the experience been so far?
I actually was introduced to REAP from a friend who he's actually out in Atlanta, and I kind of was talking to him about some of the challenges I was having, you know, transitioning into the real estate finance place or space. And he was like, have you heard of Project REAP? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And I look it up and I'm reading through, and I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what I needed. And it just talked about the diversity. And I told him, I remember being like my first realtors meeting I went to, I was literally the only person of color. There were probably about 300 people there, and I was the only person of color, and one of maybe five women. And it's intimidating. Like, it doesn't matter how, you know, good you are, it's still just very intimidating to be the only person in the room. And so why I wanted to join REAP is really to have the opportunity to get the exposure to other minorities in the industry. There's confidence in numbers, right? Knowing that there are other people of color that are doing well in the industry, that have been successful, that have been able to grow in this space. I wanted to build some of those relationships. And here in Columbus, that number is pretty limited. And with Project REAP, it gives me the opportunity to touch people in, you know, Tampa, or I talk to someone out of New York, and just like getting those relationships in place, it's just super exciting. And it gives me a lot more confidence and desire to also keep going, you know, to keep going and realizing that I can grow in this space. So Project REAP is great. And then also education, there's a lot of stuff that I'm learning, you know, just with the material that we have and stuff like that is helpful as well. So it's so far it's been a great experience. And I'm, like I said, I'm excited to continue to network and continue to build relationships in the program.
Super excited that you're a part of the family now, and you're like, the network is awesome. You're like literally one text or one group chat away from whatever you need in the real estate industry. So that should be great. Excited to hear about the progress as you go through the program. So keep going. Yeah, REAP is definitely like you kind of find your tribe almost, like, especially if you're in commercial real estate, there's not many of us. So it's like getting all together, like all these like-minded people of color in one space is just super dope. So
it is. It's almost like I feel like there's a world out there that I didn't know about. That's really how it feels. Like, wow, there's so much. You know, you get in your space, and I mean, I travel some, but not, you know, professionally as much. And so it's, I feel like I'm getting exposed to like a whole new world out there, and it's good. It's good.
Yeah, awesome. So for somebody that maybe wanted to either transition, or maybe they're coming out of college and they want to kind of chart a path in finance or real estate finance, what are some suggestions that you would give to that person?
Get a mentor. I cannot stress that enough. It's a mistake that I made in my career. I did not have a mentor. I didn't understand the importance of a mentor. And I've had one for the last few years, and it has been so beneficial for me. There's a lot of things that you don't have to bump your head on if you just get the help. And there are people out there that are willing to help, that are willing to mentor. You just have to ask. And so if you're interested in it, you know, LinkedIn, there's tons of people out there. Find someone in your area, find someone outside of your area. And I was given the advice, and I find it to be very true, is that you should find a mentor that looks like you and one that doesn't. And the multifaceted, right? The reason you want one that looks like you is because they've already gone through it. They kind of know, they share your experiences, they get the challenges you'll face, they can relate and kind of give you some guidance, right? But the one that doesn't look like you is going to give you some exposure and some guidance that maybe you won't receive from someone that's walking in the same set of shoes that you learn, teach you to how to navigate in those spaces that maybe it's still uncomfortable for your mind, you know, your mentor that looks like you. So I think it's important to have two mentors at least. And like I said, look at both ends of the spectrum for that. My other mentor is actually a white male. So
yeah. No, that's great advice. Definitely. You really can't succeed in something that you haven't done before without mentorship. So yeah, that's super important. And I like having that diversity of somebody that's like you to kind of, you know, be like, girl, you know, I've been through this too, whatever. And then somebody totally opposite to kind of put you in different situations that you may not get a chance to be in. So,
yeah.
All right. So what's next for you, either personally or professionally, in terms of real estate or finance?
So personally, I told you I'm looking to relocate to Charlotte, hoping that works out. And then I guess that's professionally too, right? But professionally, eventually what I would like to do, I've done banking for a while, done finance for a while, a little newer to commercial real estate, but just working for a specific institution, you are kind of boxed in to that particular institution set of products and terms and things like that. And I would love to get into a space where I'm more of a commercial loan broker. And then that way I can kind of find my clients, find out exactly what it is that they need. And then I find the lender that makes sense for them, versus just trying to stick them into a product, giving them something that's unrealistic. They may not have 30% to put down or 25% to put down, really working with those newer people in the industry, helping them be successful and finding lenders that will meet their needs versus being stuck in a box. So my long-term professional goal, hopefully in the next few years here, is to become a commercial loan broker independently.
Way to go. Everybody wants to do creative financing. Nicole's your girl. All right. Are there any words of wisdom or any kind of messages you want to leave the audience here?
Words of wisdom. You know, I think that whatever, and actually I'm going to recommend a book. It's a book called Untamed, and it's a book that I think will be very good. It's not related to real estate, but it is related, it's relatable for women in general. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that we've been indoctrined to believe, certain roles we've been stuck in or feel like we have to play. And I think that the most important thing is to find your true authentic self. And base your personal goals, career goals around that, not based on what people told you you should be or what direction you thought you should go based on your background. Really finding your authentic self, the things that really make you happy, the things that you are naturally talented. And they say your natural talents typically are your gifts to the world. And it's just you finding a way to use those talents to do whatever it is that you want to do. And so I guess the word of wisdom is, find your authentic self, whatever it takes to do that, and then navigate or plan your career around that.
Oh, I love that wisdom. Be yourself, sis, and find out what's the best thing for you. Don't try to be into a box. Don't get yourself pigeonholed. Do what you want to do. Yeah. All right. So let's go to the last segment of the show, which is called The Fabulous Four, and it's just four questions that I ask every guest. So the first one you kind of just answered, but if you have another book that's geared towards real estate or business or finance or anything that you could suggest for people
that is either interested in commercial real estate finance or being an investor, and it's called What Every Real Estate Investor Needs to Know About Cash Flow, and it's by Frank Gallinelli. And it's a book that kind of goes over the different measures of cash flow, really helping you understand the financial pieces that your lenders look at or what you should look at as an investor to determine if it's going to be a good investment for you. And so it's a great book that rather investors or someone in the commercial finance space should look at.
Oh, good suggestion. All right. Second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self just getting started in your career? Besides find a mentor.
All right. Be intentional. And I think that is both personally and professionally, especially for young women. Your personal life affects your professional life. And I would be transparent and say a lot of my, personally, when I was younger, I just was like, I just want to make some money. I just want to, you know, that's all I was trying to do. And I wasn't really intentional about, you know, what I wanted my career to look like. And, you know, working hard, you know, those things will work together. And, you know, they've come together for me professionally. But just being intentional. People laugh at vision boards and, you know, goal, like they think it's corny and things like that. But it really is an important tool that you can use to really say, this is what life doesn't just happen, right? You know, you got to decide what it is that you want it to look like, and then make decisions that align with that. And so that does definitely go along with your career. What is your 2-year plan? What is your 5-year plan? Like, what do you want to look your career to look like? Get that on paper, and then find out who you need to meet, who you should connect with in order to make that happen.
Oh, I love that. Have a plan and then just chart out all the different tasks and things that you need to see that vision through. All right. So the third question is, what topic in real estate do you personally want to learn more about?
Developer finance. I don't know a whole lot about it. I haven't. My space within the bank is not there. And so I want to learn a little bit more or a lot more about that before I break off on my own, because I definitely see some opportunity there as well. So I would like to learn a lot more about developer financing.
Okay. Going to be a nice feather in your cap when you're a commercial loan broker. A lot of new home starts are going to be coming soon. So definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Lastly, can you please give a shout out to another woman that's doing some amazing things in real estate right now?
I'm going to give a shout out to Danielle Alexander. She's out of Columbus, Ohio. She's with Coldwell Banker. She's been in the game for a minute. When I first switched over to the real estate finance space, she was super supportive, gave me some good tips, advice, but she's doing really well here in Columbus. She's more on the residential side, but has some experience in the commercial space, but just doing the thing.
Awesome. Shout out to Danielle. Keep crushing it. Keep doing your thing and representing in Columbus for us.
For sure.
All right. So how can people, if they want to contact you or they want to follow you to see all the things that you have going on or just pick your brain a little bit more, how can they get in touch?
Yeah. So my personal email address is ndillard, that's ndillard513 at outlook.com. My LinkedIn, you can find me on LinkedIn under Nicole Dillard. That's probably the best ways to reach me.
All right. Awesome. Appreciate you. Thank you for coming. Any last words for the listeners out there?
No, thank you so much. I mean, I love what you're doing. I mean, this is huge for women of color. I think we need to see more of it. So thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Like I said, be following your progress with REAP. So all the best with that. All the best in your transition, hopefully, to Charlotte and being a commercial loan broker. You're doing big things. So I'm excited to stay connected with you and see how we can help out each other more in the future.
Yes, girl.
All right, cool. All right, y'all. So this is another episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate Podcast. Thank you again to my guest, Nicole Dillard. I know she's going to be doing some amazing things in the future. So keep tabs on her, y'all. So, all right, we'll see you next time.